the Swanner and Judd Review. I'm Tom Swanner.
This is Brian Judd.
And gosh, I saw your list and my list isn't that much bigger. This is a tough time. You know, just there's nothing on. There's just nothing on. But there's a few things. So let me start.
Yeah, always manage to pull through. That's what I admire about you.
Oh, yeah.
That you can always find something to watch.
Yeah. Well, I started watching Monsters at work.
Oh, good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's much the same as it was. It's not quite as satisfying as the movies. Watching the poor guy with the weird horns try to manipulate his way through life, making people laugh. But he did make someone scream, and that filled up a tank. And on episode one, so I'm not sure, because he went in to try to make a kid laugh and the kid didn't laugh. It was terrified. But his tank filled really quickly. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Okay. RuPaul's All Stars. This week, the teams are selling terrible properties. So they have four teams of two. And each of them have to sell a property, make it funny, you know, as if they're like a Zillow person on television. So sure. The four properties are Salem, Massachusetts, Haunted House, Tumbleweed, Texas, Shack, an igloo in the North Pole, and a floating house.
Word anymore.
We're not? Isn't that what they're called?
I don't know. I think they might be called ice huts or something. I think igloo is inappropriate.
Okay.
But you're sorry. You're sorry, right?
I am. Okay. Floating shack in the Everglades. So they were all pretty funny. Two of them were really funny and the other two were okay. One of them was the one in the North Pole was not funny at all. They didn't quite get it, but the one that was really funny was the Texas one. And they had the prettiest girl. Her name is Plastique. And she's of Asian descent, gorgeous skin, body. I mean, amazing. And they black toothed her out. They gave her a really terrible mullet. And she was just, and she's never been funny before, and she was hysterical. So her team ended up winning. And
Think the difference was?
The difference was, well,
as far as why she was funny now and she's never been funny before.
Because she's really been pushing to be an all-around queen, because that's what you need to be on the show. First time she was on, she left very early, and most of it was because her makeup routine is so severe that she needs like 4 hours to do her makeup. So that's what got her in trouble before. Now, since then, she's been trying to change that, change it around. She wasn't particularly funny. She can dance, but she can't sing. You know, it's just, so she's been improving all her things to be more all around, and that's what you need to win. So she's, and of course, all these have been on, these are all stars, so they've all been on before. And they're all successful now out in public, even though some of them, like Plastique, didn't last more than, I think she left in the second or third round on her season. So, but it's a, I do love the fact that no one goes home, and we really get to know the queens more. I mean, we get to see all their outfits. We get to see, you know, they get to participate in all the musicals or the games or whatever RuPaul has set up for them. Everyone gets to participate in every single one, and that's kind of nice.
Sure.
Let's see, on Top Chef. We're down to the top four this week.
Children's version or
no? Top Chef. Top Chef. No,
they're all the same.
No, they're not. Yeah, anyway, that's the one where Manny was on it, the hot Latin guy. But he finally went home this week. So he needed to go home. He was in the bottom almost every week.
Oh,
and
sure.
And kept slipping by, not leaving. You know, it was always somebody that was slightly worse. Actually, I think the producers went, he's too hunky. We can't lose him. The gays are going to stop watching.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's why he lasted through the top five, but will not be going to the top four. Let's see. I'm still watching them over on Prime. That is that the black female detective who's trying to find out who the serial killer is, while the city doesn't do much about it because the serial killer is only killing people of color. So. And this takes place in the, I want to say it's like the 80s, but it goes back to what I always say, you can't have murder mysteries anymore in today's day because somebody's going to get you on film, where in the 80s, not too many people have security cameras. So
sure.
Evil is back on Paramount Plus. The show about the it's a female psychologist, male priest, and then a technician. He's also Muslim. So you get and the
sounds like the beginning of a joke.
Yeah, well, and the psychologist is an atheist. So you got someone that doesn't believe in God, you got someone who does, and you got somebody who believes in a different God, or I guess.
And the bartender said, why the long face?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway, the arc, now this is their final season, which is sad because this is a really fun show. The arc is that they're trying to give the female psychologist, they're creating basically Damien, you know, the Antichrist, sure. And they're going to make her raise it. We'll see what happens. But this week the baby was born and it didn't look like a demon. So I don't know. You know, because, you know, we know in Rosemary's Baby, it has its father's eyes, where this one, it had just regular eyes. So we'll see where that goes. There's a new show on Disney Plus. It's another Star Wars series. I know you love those. And this is, it's ACLOYTE. And I don't know what that means. I'm not even sure if that's someone's name in the show. But I saw the first two episodes, and the first episode starts where this woman comes in and threatens to kill this Jedi, or she wants to kill the Jedi. She wants her to face her, and they want to fight. And the Jedi's like, no, we're not going to do this. And then she starts, you know, doing everything to, they're in a bar, and she starts threatening people. So the Jedi finally does start to, fight her, and then she kills the Jedi, and then leaves.
Acolyte.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So she kills the Jedi, and then all of a sudden they're after this girl and the police, or whatever you want to call them. They're not stormtroopers, whatever they are. They come and they get this one girl, and she's like, "I've been here. When did I kill somebody? I was here on this. I fix you know ships. I'm not." Running around on different planets. And they're going, well, it fits your description. Turns out she's got a twin that they thought was dead.
Well, that's very soapy, isn't it?
Yeah. And so it's been back and forth with that. So it's honestly, it is the fastest I have gotten into a one of these Disney Star Wars series. The fastest I've acclimated to it, and now I'm finding it really entertaining and interesting. So, which is weird. It's weird because usually it takes a little time with these things, and you're going, well, you know, after the fourth episode, yeah, I really started getting into this. Was right from the beginning. So, on YouTube, I've met a new friend. His name is Arnie Tex, and he makes authentic Mexican food. So what happened was I was going to make quesadillas last night, and here's the thing going, oh, here's three great quesadillas that you can make. So I watched it and that was fun. And then all of a sudden it goes, oh, if you like this, how'd you like to learn how to make nachos? And I'm like, well, I know how to make nachos, but let me watch that too. So I started watching the nacho one. It was really interesting because he had your ballpark nachos, your movie theater nachos, which is basically just nacho cheese, chips, and some jalapenos thrown on top of it.
Sure.
And then the other one was kind of a interim one that, you know, it's there's some beans, there's some actually it was refried beans, and, you know, and then you layer the cheese, you know, more of what we think of traditional home nachos. And then they had this nacho that was a platter of nachos, basically. It almost looked like a sheet pan that you would get at you know, that you'd make cookies on, and it had chips in the middle, and they cheesed them. They also layered some meats over the top of the center, and then in the four corners they had things like a big pile of sour cream, a big pile of a guacamole. They had jalapenos, you know, the pickled jalapenos. Sure. They had, and I don't remember what the fourth area was, but if you've ever been to El Nav here in town, mm-hmm. and gotten their nacho supremes, it was pretty much exactly what they brought out. So the guy said that this was created in the 70s, early 70s in Texas, and it was considered, you know, it was like the big nacho platter that you bring out and everyone goes ooh ah when it happens. So, and it is, it's really, it's huge when it comes out.
Well, and not only that, but it solves your major issue with nachos, is everything stacked on top of each other and the bottom chips get soggy, which I like the soggy chips. I like a soggy bottom.
Ooh, okay.
I like the chips on the bottom get all soggy with the juice and the grease and the little bit of, you know, leftover stuff. So, but I know that you do not like that. Yeah, I've watched his videos, I don't know, for a couple of years now. So he looks like, he kind of looks like Cheech Marin, you know, very stereotypical Latino type gentleman. He looks to be about 50-something, and every once in a while he does videos with his mom, who looks as old, if not younger, than him.
I did see some of the previews coming up, and I'm like, oh, it's his wife, and it says, oh, we're, you know, cooking with mom, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, I thought the same thing, you know, because he's kind of got that cute, you know, Cheech Marin look to him.
Yeah.
I mean, very stereotypic, and, you know, he's I love when he's got his little dances when something tastes really good, and he's kind of adorable. I thought he was going to be much older, you know. Oh, he's got to be close to my age.
Right.
Oh, maybe not. You know, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
There's another chef. If you like him, as far as South American, Southwest food goes, Tex-Mex, his name is Saul, and he works with Epicurious and does a lot of Tex-Mex dishes as well, and he's just one hell of a personality in front of the camera.
Yeah, I did start watching a guy that does deli food, so I saw him do egg salad, which I then, because I was going to make eggs, you know, this is what catches me. I was going to make egg salad for dinner, and here's this guy's telling me, it's like they know, like I said it out loud and the TV.
Well,
you know,
we were discussing it last week because I said I was craving egg salad myself.
Okay. But it was that first time I'd seen it was the day I'm ready to make egg salad. That's what was weird. So what he said, what I've never done before, is he said, make sure you get some vinegar inside your egg salad. That's what makes it, like, that's what they do in the delis. It's not just, you know, the mayo and the mustard and,
sure,
you know, he had, you know, that was one ingredient. He said, you know, it's like a tablespoon of vinegar in there, and whip it in, and you're not going to taste the vinegar, but it's going to enhance. And it did. It really made everything taste fantastic. So, Yeah, but unfortunately now everything on my, instead of Broadway and Scaries, it's now deli meats and like Tex-Mex stuff.
Well, so. You do need a change. Now, how did you do your eggs for your egg salad?
As far as
how did you dispatch them? How did you chop them?
Oh, I use the potato grater.
Potato grater? Oh, yeah. Your box grater.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm thinking like a peeler.
When oh, you said no.
Potato grater at first. I'm like,
okay, sorry. No.
Okay.
And we've got the Costco pre-done, pre-peeled, pre-hard-boiled eggs. And so it's like,
must be nice having that kind of money to buy pre-boiled eggs.
It's not that much more.
Okay.
Anyway, and I can't peel an egg if my life depended on it, with to make it look decent. I can't do it.
They have to be old.
I know. I've tried it with old ones. I've tried shocking them after, I've had them, cooked them, shocked them in ice cold water, actually in ice. It was terrible. And then I've done it where you crack them under and do it underwater. I have it where you do it in a, put them into a container and shake them around. And they all look like I've used a pickaxe on them.
So my, I've never had any problems with old eggs. I do them in the, except for once. But yeah, that went rotten. That was disgusting. Old eggs, I cook them in the pressure cooker for 3 minutes. And as soon as they're after 3 minutes, into shock them in cold water and they peel beautifully. And then if I want like a light, fluffy egg salad, I put them in a mini food processor or a big food processor and mince them up that way before I mix the eggs, and they get all bubbly, and it's almost like a egg salad mousse.
I know, yeah.
And then a guy that I watch, Brian Langerstrom, he made egg salad not too long ago. And to do all his eggs quickly, he pushed them through a cooling grate.
Okay, yeah.
Where you would set your cake or whatever.
Sure.
And you get the perfect texture and you don't have to sit there and fucking chop a dozen eggs.
Well, yeah, it's funny because the guy goes, well, I like to put on my gloves and just munch them in my hands and then keep a couple out that I chop up. So there's a little bit of chunk left. So it's mush and it's chunk, and you kind of mix it together, and that gives it a more of a moussey kind of feel that holds all the big chunks together.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds terrible, but yes, it was tasty. And oh, and the other thing he said when he put it on rye bread, I wished I would have had some rye bread, that if you don't want a heavy toast, a toasted bread, just light enough that it's not, the bread's not soft to the touch anymore, just so it's got a little bit of toast to it.
I like squishy white, cheap squishy white bread with my egg salad. I want it to kind of all mush together.
Yeah, see, that I don't like. And he did add bacon, which I did as well.
Toast is okay, but I always find that the toast, maybe I'm toasting it too long, obviously.
Yeah.
But since you don't bite the toast, it squishes the egg salad and all shoots out the back.
That's why you just lightly toast it enough that it gives it some texture.
Sure.
And it also doesn't cut the roof of your mouth.
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's almost part of egg salad.
Sure.
So keeping on that, there's a show on Hulu that, I don't know why I watched it, but I did. It's a series. It's called World Eats Bread. So the first episode was talking about sourdough and the history of sourdough, especially in the Northern California, San Francisco region. And it was just talking all about that. And then the next one was talking about bread in Turkey. And they're in Istanbul, and they're different kinds of breads. And it became kind of fascinating. I know that when I was been to Europe before, the one thing that always throws me whenever I'm in Europe is that I eat the bread and it's like, it's not like, it's like when you eat a biscuit from goddamn, you know, KFC and you're going blah, blah, blah. It's like a big mouthful of dough and it doesn't have any taste to it or anything. But I remember I had a continental breakfast. They bring over these muffins and rolls and I'm like, what are we supposed to do? And then they have some jellies and it's like, okay, well, we'll go ahead and try it. And I was just throwing these things back like crazy because they had, it was like nothing I'd ever tasted before.
Sure.
So
right now you're talking like the little scone type biscuity.
Oh, things, it could be scones. I mean, some of these were just
bread, just in general.
Yeah, they were like Parker House rolls, and they were like, you know, it was a mixture of all these different breads that they had at the hotel, and they just bring you a basket of mixed breads, and it was like everything was good, you know, and it didn't have to have sugar, you know, like a glaze on top of it. Sure. It didn't have to. I mean, these things were good without the butter and the jam. So
yeah,
so that's, I think, and so the turkey thing all of a sudden really was like, oh, this is interesting, you know. And they were talking with the sourdough, it was all about the artisan bakeries coming into style. You know, everybody wants their sliced white bread for sandwiches, but some of the people are now making sliced white bread that's artisan, so it's got some flavor, it's got some texture, it's got some taste.
It's the European bread that they're making over there. I mean, fuck you, the baguettes in France are locked in at a certain price. They had to be made fresh every day, and I mean, there's just nothing better than fresh bread. I mean, what Americans have done to bread is just, it's fucking tragic compared to what is available in Europe, in even in Bosnia. When I was there, you know, a year or two ago, on the corners, there are little huts, you know, little shacks, kind of like what old photo mats used to be if you want to date yourself. And
I'll do that later.
Date yourself. And all they did was sell fresh bread that's, you know, brought in and baked there. And it's not supposed to last more than a day or two, because bread shouldn't last more than a day or two. Having a loaf on the shelf for a month or so isn't natural.
Right. And they say that if your bread goes stale and you don't want to eat it, then you put it out for the birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and in Istanbul, there's one guy that he makes all the bread for all the carts, you know, basically the, you know, the push carts that they have with the big wheels, and they have the glass case on the top, and they sell bread right out of there. And he, I don't know, he does all of them, 'cause there's, you know, like 8 million people in Istanbul, but, it's he does a lot of them, and it was just really cool. He gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning and starts the process. And so by the time they hit dawn, basically they're in little carts or trucks running around all this, these trays of all these wonderful breads. It was really cool. And even when I was in New York, it was interesting how good the bread was, everything. I mean, the pizza was better than it is here. The bagels, of course, were better there than they are here. It's just weird. I mean, all we got good sourdough here. That's one thing we do have.
Some people go overboard with the sourdough. We've got that little boulangerie over there in Oak Park. And all I wanted was some country wheat or a dark bread for tomato sandwiches. This was last summer or two summers ago, you know, and there's nothing better than thick sliced tomato on dark bread, salt, pepper, a thin spread of mayo. And the fucking dark, it was sourdough and it was oversoured. It overpowered the whole thing. And like everything I've gotten there has just been this, I guess, the idea that a little sourdough is okay. A lot of sourdough is better.
Well, it's funny, 'cause I've been getting, my This sounds terrible, but I've been getting my let's say specialized breads, my marble rye and stuff like that at Walmart.
Oh.
It's actually cheaper, and
Oh,
it's
yeah.
good quality bread, because you can't get a good marble rye anywhere, first of all, and if you can, it's $6, $7 a loaf, so it's
Well, I was
ridiculous.
gonna say you can find it, but you're gonna have to pay for it. The
Yeah.
KP Market has some
Yeah,
good
I don't go there
bread.
enough, but it was so funny. We actually went to KP this week because they had cherries for $1.29 a pound,
Wow.
and when they have the cherries, they're good quality. We got them last year. So we went over there and I got like 6 pounds of cherries, which I've been paying for, but they're worth it. They're not the big beautiful bings because
Sure.
they're $1.29 a pound, but they are tasty and they're firm and they're good. Anyway,
Well, I like shopping there because their fruit and vegetables look how fruit and vegetables look on a farm. They're
right.
not
And
all clean and pretty. I mean, their carrots, some of their carrots are hideous,
oh, I know. I
but they're the best for stew.
Sean made me put one down that I picked up, and but he did let me keep the daikon. So
No, okay.
yeah. So but we're running around picking up, it's like, oh my God, look at this. This is fantastic. Look at this thing. I didn't even know that you could get this in Sacramento, and we're walking around and we went there for three things and we walked away with
Oh, yeah.
$40 worth of stuff. Just, oh, here's some instant miso soup. Let's get some of these. These will be good to have, that it was weird. But that's the only thing I love. Do not get the meats there, though. Tasteless.
I
Just
buy their
tasteless.
chicken livers there. It's the only thing I buy
Okay.
there because
Yeah,
they're
you can't go.
super
Can't go.
cheap and they sell them by gigantic tubfuls.
Yeah. But everything else
I
they
bought
got there is
oysters there
fantastic.
too.
Oh, well, that's okay, because were they frozen or were they
They were fresh.
okay, fresh? I guess you
Yeah.
don't have frozen. Do you? Do you have frozen?
You have the jarred ones
Yeah, right.
for, I don't know, whatever you would use those for.
Yeah, we used to get the. I remember we used to get the oysters in the can,
I
canned
like
in
those
oil
too.
and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first introduction because we were in the military, and it's
Sure. Well,
they
those were
always.
for us. That was a Christmas treat, was some saltines and some smoked oysters out of the can.
Oh, and don't forget the sardines.
Oh, yeah.
We
Well,
used
my
to.
mom didn't like sardines. My grandma did. I love sardines. And in fact, KP Market has an extremely extensive selection of sardines and smoked sprats and all kinds of canned fish, if you're into that thing, which
Okay.
I am. So,
Yeah. We saw some cavelt.
gefilte fish.
Yes, and they had some pickled herring over there too. We were
There,
looking.
so when Missy was here, who's my Jewish friend from Chicago, she picked up some pickled herring there. Now, I've bought pickled herring before, but it was like sweet. And I told her, I said, I bought it before. I didn't like it. It was sweet. It was this guy, and I don't like sweet things in general, like
Yeah, life.
beet, right? Or you
Yeah.
put beets in, like beets and horseradish, which is a very Jewish thing. I don't like that because the beets make it sweet. It's disgusting. So she picked up a brand, and it was a pickled herring with onion, and it was excellent. She was even impressed. She's like, this particular brand is better than what she can get in Chicago. So I've been buying more salted pickled herring, eating that on bagels or
Oh,
crackers.
and that's why you're alone.
And let's smell my fingers after the fact going, ugh,
Well, and
ugh.
you wonder why the dog follows you around like crazy. Okay, well, moving on. Let's see. This coming up week, next week is the Tony Awards, and so I'm very excited this year because I have a taste of it, so
Sure,
I know what's going on. I know who all the nominees are. I didn't see all the nominees, but I know about everything now. So this is going to be actually exciting for a change. I saw three movies on Peacock. I watched Saved, which is the Mandy Moore show about the it was the Catholic, I guess they're Christian school or whatever. It's a religious school.
Right.
It's a really, really good show. Macaulay Culkin's in it. A really fun show. I saw the first Omen on Hulu, which I don't know if this went to theaters or if this is a direct to streaming, but basically it takes place in the 60s, and it turns out that it's just the it's like a prequel to the original Omen with Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. They actually spoiler alert, but if you couldn't figure this out at the very beginning of the show, that you're not very good. It is basically they're trying to figure out who's going to have the baby, you know, which of these nuns is going to get impregnated by the baby, and the devil have the devil's baby, and then they're going to pass it on to Gregory Peck and his wife. So it's just a prequel to the original Omen. So it was, that part was good. It was kind of like Rogue One, the Star Wars thing where they had to get the optics to the Death Star to Princess Leia at the very beginning of Star Wars. It's kind of like that. It leads right in like that, which I think is kind of fun, but the rest of the show was like, okay, is it over yet? And then I saw the new Jennifer Lopez movie on Netflix called Atlas, and it's not a bad movie. I mean, I'll say that right now. She's a little, I don't know, it's kind of weird. She seems out of like miscast, but you know, she thinks she can still play a young girl, and she's not. And even though she's got a great body, a beautiful face, she's got a great body and beautiful face for someone who's in her 50s. And so she seemed miscast that way. Although she did fine in it. The basic storyline is that you have AI that's gone crazy. Her mother was the one who invented the AI. Now her mother's dead. She's the only one that can stop the AI from, destroying all humanity. So, familiar storyline, but the show itself was entertaining. So I would say actually all of them are entertaining. Saved, a lot of people know Saved. It's fantastic for being as low budget as it was. But the first Omen and the Atlas were both entertaining for what they were. But I'd go with Atlas on Netflix before I'd go with the first Omen on Hulu.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, how about what's going on with you, huh?
As far as specials go, and this one isn't new, but I watched Pete Davidson's Turbo Fonzarelli this week. It was terrible. I like Pete Davidson for the most part. I mean, I've liked his previous specials. I enjoy his movies or like his movies. But this one, his style that he was trying to present, and first of all, it was shot in black and white, so pretentious. The whole act was like a mix between bad Dave Chappelle and bad Adam Sandler. And I mean the loud screaming voices that Adam Sandler does that are funny. So that was the whole hour. It was waffling between him kind of mumbling through things like a Chappelle and then making loud, loud, unfunny voices like Adam Sandler.
Well, on the subject of that, I did see Pauly Shore this week at the Punchline. And just because, Sean wanted to see him, and I thought, well, when we get the opportunity to see some of the old timers at the Punchline, because normally these guys are now doing the Crest Theater, they're, thousand seats, or they're doing the casinos now.
Yeah, the Pauly Shore.
I know. The opening act was really good. He did kind of same kind of humor as Pauly Shore. He didn't repeat Pauly Shore's catchphrases every time it got a little lull, the weasel, I guess that's a thing. Yeah. So, and he's doing like kicks and stuff. And I'm assuming, because I'm not a big Pauly Shore fan. Yeah. I saw the movies because, you know,
it was the 80s.
Or yeah, early in the 90s. Yeah, the 90s. So I even remember him on MTV. So anyway, the whole audience was in between Sean's age and my age. You know, there it was like there was no young kids at all. So
I can't imagine the younger folks would even know who he is.
That's what, yeah, unless they happen to catch one of his movies on, you know, Peacock or something. Well, you know, Biodome and what was it, Jury Duty? He had some big hits, some big hit movies. Whether they were good or not, they were big movies.
Sure.
It's kind of like you go back and you go, did Eddie Murphy really make that many movies? And you go back and you go, wow, he made a lot of movies, but not all were very good, but he made a lot.
Sure.
But Pauly Shore was intoxicated on stage. I don't know if it was drugs or alcohol. I don't know for sure. But he did say, yeah, I'm backstage. And they come up and they go, Pauly, you're going to need to sober up. And he goes, I'm not drinking. I don't know what you're talking about. And everyone in the audience is like, mumble, 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 mumble. Yeah, sure. With the exception of almost falling off the stage, he did a good job. Mm. It was just, he was obviously intoxicated with something. I don't know what it was. Yeah. So, that was fun, but go ahead. Yeah. Gone with the Wind. What?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Since we had to hear about Pauly Shore. I've finished the first season of Tacoma FD. Which is on Netflix. They found the groove. It's actually, I think it's very funny. I don't know why it went to True Crime or True TV or whatever the fuck that channel is called, because it's funnier than what that god awful wild animal show or animal control that was on Fox a year still or two. On. Oh, it's still on. Yeah, it shouldn't be.
It's renewed for a third season.
No, great. Yeah. So I don't understand why it went to True instead of Fox, because it's better than that animal control piece of shit. Although I don't know if being tamed for network, if it would still work, because, you know, they still use fuck and all that. And there was one episode where they have a history together. The one guy saved his life and it was just carrying him out of the building. One of his nuts popped. And it was the nut that produced all the boy sperm. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, that's how it works. The lower nut is the boy nut. And you left me with the girl nut, and that's why I have all daughters, and it's your fault. So that could have played on network, but like I said, with some of the nudity and the fuck bombs and whatnot, you know, they'd have to tone that down. So I don't know if it would have worked on Fox, but God, it's still better than that awful animal control. And with that, I'll just have to leave you in suspense with Gone to the Wind. I'm about 25% into the book.
Okay.
Yankees have not burned down Atlanta yet. Spoiler alert.
They do? Oh, no.
You're right. Yeah. But I'm really learning a lot about this fascination that a lot of people have with the South. And like my mother, for instance. You know what, because I've always thought, okay, it's just, you know, it's a bunch of fucking hillbillies that own slaves. But Margaret Whiting, the author, I mean, really writes in this beautiful language describing the South, and you get to see where that obsession comes from, or I have come to understand where the obsession comes from. And maybe you'll leave me with some time to discuss that next week.
All right. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we will talk to you all next time.